How hard was it not to shake hands or hug people this morning? Very hard, hey? That's right. I was thinking, we're a church family. This is what you do. It's like tucking your kid in without giving them a kiss. Will, I missed your kiss this morning. Metaphorical. Just a little brief family discussion to as we start off of just, wow, look at how good it is to be together, and then look at all that's going on. We've got these introduction classes of what's it mean to be a follower of Jesus. That's happening here. It's for all. Come as you are. There's soccer camp meetings. We as a church, it's not just a particular aspect of our church that does this, but we all do it. We're all in serving our community when it comes to our soccer camp ministry. There's the board report, just some great communication coming out of our AGM, and specifically that CARE ministry fund, CARE fund, Capital Asset Renewal Fund. How's that? And the whole heart of it in CARE is as we care for our building, we're looking to express our love for God and our love for others by being good stewards of what we have, of what we've been given, and in creating spaces where we can come and belong, where we can come and honor God for who He is. So some great things going on in the life of church, and also just as a this morning, we've had a family member just diligently reading the scriptures going, hey, I want to honor God and what it says. And she's has cancer in her life. And she said, will the elders and church come and pray over me? So we're going to do that for Cindy Logan after the service. So our leadership's going to come up and pray for her. I don't know. I don't know what to do about laying on of hands. Maybe it'll just be all connected. And yeah, the Lord will work. But invite anyone who wants to come and pray for Cindy to come do that following the service. As for me, haven't introduced myself yet. My name's Dave. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm one of the family. In my own life, who am I? I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a husband. I'm a son. I'm a father. I'm a friend. I'm part of this church. I'm part of Quinnell. I have house payments and car payments. And despite leading this whole 40 days of fasting thing, my kids still want to eat and got all those food payments. What's the deal, right? There's all these things in my life, roles, responsibility, that make up who I am, and same with you. And not even to get into some of our hobbies and different communities that we're a part of. And this morning, what we're talking about is the tension of fulfilling the various roles that we have in our life and commitments with this commitment that Jesus has given us as His followers to be on mission. He's given us a great mission. It's known as the Great Commission. And this is the scripture we've read this morning. So some of the questions are, how do we live it out? Well, how do I do all this other stuff? Well, like, how much should I prioritize the great mission that Jesus has given us? So, you got a little processing to do. I'm done. But here's what we're going to do. Next slide. We got 1 minute. Just turn to the person next to you. And a quick processing of, do we first take care of our own lives, or do we first live to fulfill Jesus' mission? And there's this whole piece of, as you discuss, there's this piece of come as you are. Maybe you're like, I don't know who this Jesus guy is, or you talk a lot about him, but he's kind of old history, and I'm not sure I accept the mission. But just wherever you're coming from, there's a sense of welcome here, and be authentic. So turn to your neighbor, take a minute between the two of you, and process. What comes first? All right. Let me pull you back here for a moment. Heard some good discussions going on. I'm sure some of you could spend the next hour just engaging. Saw some of you got trapped in just your own pockets where it's like, I can't, just kind of am isolated, didn't even get in a discussion. And that's kind of true of life too, isn't it? Let me tell you about the ultimate coffee talk discussion that took place. There, just like many coffee shop talks where you're there to solve the problems of the world, well, this group of buds went back to their old hangout and they got together and they had this coffee shop discussion that changed the world. These buds, their leader was just, the guy leading the discussion was this guy who everyone loved and respected. He oozed love and he oozed confidence. He was the kind of guy that everyone who met him wanted to be like, because you just felt such love when you were near him and you were taking lessons. But he also had so many important and good things to say. And actually, not even that. It was like he had this like divine line, like this direct connection with God, that what he said was directly from God. And then not only that, he not only had the wisdom, the love, but he would just touch someone and physically they would be healed. This guy, Jesus, and his buds were gathering in this talk, but it was a very unusual talk because one of them had been dead a few days before. We're not talking for 30 seconds, we're talking for 3 days. Jesus and his disciples ran into evil embodied in this world, into empire, into the Roman Empire specifically, into religion twisted in on itself that becomes judgmental and accusational and manipulative and controlling. And ultimately, they nailed Jesus to a wooden stake in a form of a cross. They nailed him there and they left him there to suffocate and die. And to make sure after he had died, they make sure he was dead, they stuck a spear in him and bled him out to just make sure he was extra dead. That Jesus was there in the discussion. Can you imagine how much that would shape the discussion? And there was this whole thing about Jesus where he was already incredible, but there was something different. His body was transformed. It was him, but he was different. Think about what that would have been like, how that would have changed things. Do you think you'd talk about that afterwards with the people you run into? Just perhaps, right? In fact, that discussion, those discussions that took place after Jesus' death and resurrection, we're still talking about 2,000 years later. It's gone across the world. It's known as the gospel of Jesus, the good news. And in this discussion, Jesus says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus gives his followers one mission, make disciples. Breaking it down into two parts though, gaining disciples and growing disciples. Gaining disciples and growing disciples. So that means to make disciples means new disciples, and it also means to grow mature as disciples. And this piece is about telling the next person about what God has done in raising Jesus from the dead. It wasn't just that he was an ordinary man. No, he said he was the Son of Man. What did that mean? Did that just mean like, hey, I'm one of you guys? Well, that's what they thought for a long time. But then it was just so much of what had been said in the scriptures for hundreds of years was coming into fruition in these very moments. And they were reminded in this book of Daniel that we read just in the fall. Do you remember that part, Daniel chapter 7? 13, there's this extraordinary vision. I saw someone like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the ancient one and was led into his presence. He was given authority, honor, and sovereignty over all the nations of the world, so that people of every race and nation and language would obey him. His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. There's so much to say there. There's 600 years of back history of people's experiences of God, of people's prophetic, divine tapping into God and then saying these things in visions are all coming into fruition. And here's Jesus, the one who's been referring to himself the whole time as the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. We talked about how when you dug into Daniel, you really saw it's somebody who's being identified as human and God, the cloud walker. That's not a characteristic of a human being. It's someone who's both. And here was Jesus, both God and man. And he was there for a very specific purpose, to reveal who God is to us, to reveal the extents he would go to for us. We talked about potentially being in isolating circumstances where we can't be in community. Ultimately, we understand that in our world, we're alienated from God. We don't feel like we have a direct tap into God. We're alienated from each other. We don't always feel right with each other. We can't come in and be ourselves. We might be rejected, judged, or worse. We're alienated from our very self. We don't even know what's going on in ourself. We're alienated from this world. There's things in this world, viruses, things you can't even see that are attacking us, things that we just know that aren't right in this world. And as we open up this book of retelling history with a very specific purpose of relationship, of understanding life and history and our lives through relationship. It's this whole revealing of who God is and the extents he's going to make an alienated human race right with him. And here we meet God in the flesh. And he says, I'm with you wherever you go. What does that mean? Well, we know there's a mission. Here's the big thing to say. Disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, accept the mission. If you're a follower of Jesus, it means you accept the mission. Why is that? Because that's the way a rabbi, a teacher, would teach his disciples. They would embody who he was. They would embody who he was. They would become like him. We've talked about this in this series. And they would prioritize his teachings. So a second thing to say is that disciples prioritize the mission. Disciples accept the mission. Disciples prioritize the mission. So coming back to our discussion about talking about, well, what comes first? And we got that back on the next slide. Do we take care of our own lives first? Or do we first live to fulfill Jesus' mission? If you've been a follower of Jesus, there's no doubt you can feel the tensions of the many roles of your lives. And how do you hold on to this mission he's given to go and make disciples, to go and tell other people about Jesus, when you know there's people who will have huge walls? They might judge you. It might tarnish your whole relationship. What do you do? How do you hold that? You got other things to do. You can't always be thinking about Jesus' mission, right? You've seen this little insert here about followers of Jesus. We've been in this series, Following Jesus. We talked about 9 key aspects of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. In a little bit, we'll give you a little time to process these 9, and there's this little space of going, if I'm a follower of Jesus, that means, and there's the key points from each of the messages of the series. If you got a pen or there's a pen in front of you, to check those off. And ultimately, to sign your name, going, I hereby acknowledge these key aspects of following Jesus, represented with these check marks. I proceed forward in his mission, not in faith in myself, but in faith in my great big God and his ability to do what I could not do on my own. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this last one, it says for this week, as a follower of Jesus, I accept the mission Jesus gave to make disciples. I recognize I'm prayerfully to go forth in his authority, living out his mission he's given to his followers. This is a key marker of being a follower of Jesus. It's not the sort of thing that you can just ignore. It's not the sort of thing you can leave or minor in. This is the thing to major in. We are to major in the mission. And the things of our lives are to become mini, mini me, major in Jesus. But here's the counterintuitive thing, is that as we major in Jesus' mission, we connect our whole lives to heaven and eternity in a way that infuses every little aspect of your life with great meaning. It's amazing how a coffee shop conversation can have such meaning, can have such purpose. It's amazing how the little things of doing the dishes for your family, showing up for work, becomes greater. It comes to like building in God's love into our homes, into our communities, into embodying God everywhere we go as his followers. This is what we're to do. It's counterintuitive, but, and we have on the PowerPoint here, Jesus said this is what's going to happen. If you don't accept the mission, if you major in yourself, let's go to the next slide, Matthew 16. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. That's the counterintuitive part of like, actually, if I give my life to God, then my life is ultimately where it should be. This is how we're made. If you're coming here from a perspective of looking at things from the outside, it doesn't make sense. You think, well, my life's best in my hands. But as many of you experienced, your life's not always good in your own hands, is it? In fact, I have this phrase of just, it's amazing the mess I can make of my own life. But praise be to Jesus for what he's made of it. And if you give what you have, God will take it and multiply it. Instead of just your size life, God will give you a God-sized life. There's other voices in society saying other things, saying that's not the way. Whatever path you take, it's a path of faith. And truly, I believe, and history attests, that there's no one better to put your life in their hands than Jesus. The next thing up here, instructing us about what to do first, Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek God's way first, his mission for your life, his right living with him and with others, and then everything's going to be taken care of. That's truly the path I've been on, and it's so true. He'll take care of you. Let him do it rather than feel like you got to take care of all your stuff first. It's like, it's such a path of faith. There's so many different things we could say, but we've been looking at Matthew the whole time, right? This guy, his life was a mess. He'd made a mess of his life. He'd sold out family, countrymen, everybody to cash in. And he had cashed in, and he had the money, and he had the power to make people do what he wanted as a tax collector for the Romans. But he had this encounter with Jesus. He was confronted with God before him, and his life did a 180. And he accepted the invitation that Jesus gave him, that God gives to all of us. And the invitation we looked at in week one was to follow me and become one of my disciples. Matthew went, all right, I don't know if he kicked something over, made a mess of things, but I'm in. And ultimately, there needs to be this point where we have to make a decision and say, I'm in. I've made a mess of things, but God, here's my life. And this is a Sunday morning. It's a check-in also of going, hey, I said that once, but I realized with all these different mini-me missions, my life's been just, I've started following all these, I've been majoring in the minors. And it's a check. Is my life all about majoring in his mission? And that will mean you'll gain your life in ways that are profound and new and different. And that's what happened to Matthew. And Matthew, who had sold out everyone around him, changed and he sold out for Jesus. And his life changed others. And he had this incredible impact in writing the Gospel of Matthew, in opening up our eyes and our lives to who Jesus and who he really is. There's so many things to say. There's models of others who've done this. Young couple named Jim and Liz. Jim and Liz said, you know what? We can't just stay where we are. We got to go to the next town, the next place. And Jim, as a very young family man, brought the gospel to this tribe that had never heard about Jesus before. And like Jesus, they killed him for it. And his wife Liz and her little one, what do they do with that? A tragedy. But in God's hands, God makes something profound. And she, profoundly embodying the love of God, went to the tribe who had killed her husband and loved on them. And this whole tribe became known as followers of Jesus. And they brought the good news that God had forgiven all that they had done wrong because Jesus had paid for it ultimately on the cross. A life of love and sacrifice. And Jim and Elizabeth Elliot leave this legacy. And they weren't fools to give up their life for Jesus. In fact, Jim is known for this famous quote, have it in my office wall. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Think of another guy who's gone before me, Charles, young athlete. This guy was a stud. The newspapers are writing about his skills as an athlete. Not only that, he was young, he was famous, he was rich. He had this incredible inheritance. What did C.T. Studd do with that? He gave all of his inheritance away and went to the next country to tell the next person about the gospel of Jesus Christ and profoundly changed people's lives and just radiated and went out to the next and the next. Our world would call him a fool. But in eternity, in light of eternity, he majored on the mission. He majored on what's most important. And I read his biography, and I got a book, and I can, if anyone wants to read it, of just how his life just felt enriched by giving up the things of this world to major in what Jesus was calling him to. So, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with this mission? There's so many things that pull and tug our hearts from within and over here. So let me ask you, have you accepted the mission? If you're a follower of Jesus and you say you are, then that means a key attribute is that you major in the mission. You prioritize the mission. So have you accepted the mission? If you look at your life, does that reflect that? What's the other question? Have you prioritized the mission? Have you prioritized it? Are you willing to live it out? To accept the mission is to live it out, to walk the walk. As we celebrated Annette's ministry among us last Sunday, love this image that she found. Maybe if you can go back to the slide where, the title slide where it's prominent, of this foot. These are regular day shoes. It's a regular street. It's regular life. It's always about walking towards Jesus as you go through everyday life. Really have enjoyed over these 9 weeks, we've had 9 different family members share some of their story of living after Jesus, of living it out in following him. So Heather, want to invite you up. Heather, as she was doing announcements, also is here to share her story. We've got a microphone here for you. A snapshot of Heather's life and following Jesus.
All right, I'm back. Sorry, I'm going to have to read it. I don't like reading things, but I'll get off tangent and go for a really long time if I don't. From an early age, I believed in God and knew him to be active and present. I was very lucky in that my parents worked with an missions organization, and God was a very real miracle worker in our lives. That said, growing up, my relationship with him was one based on my knowledge and my logic. I could visibly see the results of him. I knew he existed. But experiencing it for myself was a different ballgame. As a child, like many of us do, I began to carry labels. Some I put on, others were placed on me by others. I was an introvert, a perfectionist. I was driven, I was very type A. As I grew, I pursued areas I knew I'd find success in and steered clear from those I felt uncertain in. Spiritually, I grew in knowledge and many activities, but felt a lot like a hamster on a wheel. I'd get on, feel full of energy and bursting with enthusiasm, doing everything I could for Jesus. Eventually, exhausted, I'd fall off that wheel, wondering why it never ever lasted. Even though I knew the Bible was truth, I struggled with spiritual burnout, disappointment, and deep disillusionment. As I entered adulthood, I relentlessly pursued success. God was a box that needed to be checked. Church on Sunday, volunteering with youth during the week, mission trips, and special events to round out the equation. Personally, though, the connection was still lacking. I pursued God like I would any other task that needed to be accomplished. Yet even in the midst of my misguided attempts, God was very, very good. He continued to intervene in my life gently, and not always so gently, correcting my path, reminding me that he loved me and that he was ultimately in control. Through incredible life lows and amazing life highs, he remained constant, solid, reminding me that he still had me and that he had plans for my life far bigger than the ones I was trying so hard to accomplish. Despite his continued faithfulness, I still found myself doing everything I could for God. I was successful, competent, and a solid multitasker, so life was full. Generally far too full. I accepted challenges I knew I could accomplish and stayed away from those that ran the risk of failure or threatened to sap all of my energy. Winter 2018, I joined an online Bible study group, desperately hoping to find the key to experience Jesus fully and completely. Let's be honest, in some ways, I was striving to finally achieve that elusive perfection of my spiritual walk. While studying, a friend shared an image she'd been given of us as Christians living in cages of our own making, arms wrapped around the bars, screaming for freedom, but unwilling to let go and step out the open cage door into what God has for us. This image spoke profoundly to me. For the first time in my life, I really understood just how much I was doing for Jesus. It wasn't about what he was asking, but instead what I could do for him, what I considered myself capable of giving. All those life labels I wore played into each and every decision, and as a base root driving force behind them all, there was my extreme fear of failure. Every decision was weighed against my strengths and weaknesses and my ability to give, whether it was my emotional energy, my time, or our resources. I realized I needed to let go of all my expectations, fears, and most of all, my illusions of being in control. Instead, I needed to get my priorities straight and turn my eyes toward my Heavenly Father and step out into whatever He called me to do. He doesn't want my best. He doesn't want my efforts, my work projects. All He wanted was me. He wanted me to release my fears and instead learn to hear and follow His voice and direction. I knew that He loved me and plans for me, but for years I'd been so busy for Him that I'd forgotten to listen to His voice for guidance and direction. I picture it a bit like a father teaching a child a sport. As long as the child insists on doing it themselves, progress is painfully slow. But once that child leans into their father, ears attentive to dad's voice, arms loose, ready to be taught, progress can be made. And in this place, in this knowledge, I finally found true freedom. What He gives me, I will be able to accomplish because it's not me, but instead Him at work through me. It doesn't matter what my skill set is, what fills my schedule, or what my strengths or weaknesses are. When I allow Him to use me, what I've got the God of the universe doing the work. It's no longer me. Last January, fresh off this newfound freedom, Dave got up and shared about soccer camp. As he spoke, I felt my heart stirred, and I knew that I had to respond to the call. And I promise you, this was a crazy thing. I'm not particularly adept at team sports. I had a full plate of activities and responsibilities, and goodness knows, I hadn't even been to soccer camp as we just recently moved back to Quesnel. But I went home committed to praying through how God wanted to use me. I know some of you have heard me say it before, but I was surprised to hear the words blank check as I sought His direction. Right there, I had a decision to make. Was I going to step out in faith, knowing that He had me, or would I retreat back into my place of comfort? I chose to step out and utter those words, blank check, to Pastor Will and Dave. And honestly, their faces registered the same surprise I felt. But that began an incredible journey. Those 5 months prepping, organizing, and running soccer camp together with a team gave new meaning to 2 Corinthians 12:10. In my weaknesses, God's strength flowed. And I got a front row seat to experiencing His incredible faithfulness. Sure, He might choose to use our strengths. He used my love of organization and years of event planning, but He also had me step out despite my obvious weaknesses. And it was in those spaces of weakness that I saw Him move greatly. Choosing to rip off the labels that have defined my capabilities for so long, learning to lean into God and step out in faith when called has brought the most incredible freedom. Where He leads, I will follow, knowing that He's more than I could ever ask or expect. And what He asks me to do, I will accomplish to His glory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you.
Every one of you have been such an encouragement as you've shared your stories. It's amazing in Heather sharing her journey of going, I'm trying to learn what it means to follow You, Jesus, but there's these parts where I go run out ahead and I think that's what You want, but maybe it wasn't. Or I'm chained here, I'm in this cage, but there's a door open, actually, and I can just walk out whenever, but I didn't know. If we could go to that slide of here, I just want to draw out a couple hang-ups, because we talked about how making disciples involves gaining disciples, but also growing disciples. And it means we're all in the growth journey. So we've talked about this when it comes to fear and love in our rightly ordered heart message. And all the messages of the series can be found online at northstarchurch.ca if you want to review any of them. But we can misunderstand God's call and His of what it means to follow Him pertaining to fear at times, because we'll be afraid of people, whether it's religious people or unreligious people, or we'll be afraid of circumstances or uncertain of God and His love or ourselves. It's like we think that God is saying something, but He hasn't really said it because we're not actually learning to listen to His Spirit speaking to us. And we're afraid of what others in the church might think. But maybe that's not the concern we really need. Maybe our fear is a little bit off, and we talked about how we need to ultimately respect God first and foremost, and we need to love God first and foremost, and those things get our walk on Jesus' way. So this piece of love, we don't love ourselves and we don't love others. Sometimes in this Great Commission, we go like, well, I don't want to burn out. I don't want to give everything I got and then not taking care of the home front or the things I'm supposed to. Well, part of in how God has individually made each of you, and he said, I've made a masterpiece with every single one of you. Part of that masterpiece is he's given each of you God-given limits to live within. And there's sacrifice, yes, but there's also limitations of going in the limitations we find our calling. In the giftings we find our calling. Sometimes we don't have the right sense of the mission. We accept missions that aren't from Jesus. Again, that's listening to his voice, and we talked about that earlier, about his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You want peace for your soul, he's the one. He's the one who brings rest for your soul. So I just thought to draw that out, a couple of hang-ups in this journey. But it's a journey of learning how to follow, of learning how to be tuned in to God and his voice through the scriptures, through the Holy Spirit. So another hang-up is in this very scripture itself. And we're going to give you a time to process these nine and to essentially sign the check to Jesus again and go, yes, I'm willing to follow. And Mike and team, if you could come up and maybe play some instrumental now and give us some time to process. But coming back to the scripture, the thing we lose sight in this whole mission is that he says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. It's not something you do on your own. It's something you go in the authority of God. It's something where he goes with you wherever you go. If you've accepted Christ into your life, God has come in, and you have the Holy Spirit going with you in it all, directing you. And it's this incredible journey, unlike any other. So, we want to give a couple minutes before we engage in the next song to process. You can talk and pray if you don't have a pen, but process. What's it mean to be taking the next steps in following Jesus? Because his disciples accept the mission, his disciples prioritize the mission, and his disciples are willing to live it out when it comes to following him. Take a few minutes to yourself and process this before the Lord.